Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not decree for him to find his son before the certain time, before an appointed time. He did not decree for them to come and be reunited before that specific time. And on top of that, from the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, before that, we would say that this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated and made firm. And we have examples in which it took place before, right? Can anybody remember an example? Not in this story, but generally in the Quran or anything. Think about the qissah, the story of Bani Israel. Bani Israel. Remember, when they were left outside of that certain area they were trying to get to, for how many years?
40.
40 years. And if you were to see, the place is called, Atiyah, right? If you were to look in on the map, how close it was, you would be amazed. How was it the case that they were not able to see that? Allah left them strangling, in a state of confusion, not able to enter into the city for 40 years, going and looking for guidance, going to look for someone to can lead them into the city, and yet they were prohibited. Likewise, we can find it again. Yeah.
Exactly.
The story of Musa, Harun. Also another story. We have the story of the people of the Kahf. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He allowed them to be in this cave for how many years? 390 years. And they say that they were in this cave for 390 years, whilst the city was just right out there. It was amazing that no one came to them whatsoever. Somebody might say, how is that possible that nobody can come into that cave? No one who came and found these guys. That's the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When He wants something, He will remove those different means to keep a bound between that which He decrees until He's ready to have it decreed. That's from Allah's mercy, or Allah's hikmah rather, His wisdom. Now, so that would be our answer to that. Likewise, from the aspect of Yusuf alayhi salam, the scholars, they say that Yusuf alayhi salam actually knew where Yaqub was. He knew where his father was, and he knew where his brothers were. But فَإِنَّهُ قَدْ عَلِمَ وَقَصَدَ وَتَأْخِيرُ أَنْ يُبَلِّغْ الْكِتَابَ الْعَجَلَ He purposely delayed it until it was decreed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that they were to meet back up. Right? So he was waiting for the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was waiting for it in a good time in which it was good to go back to his brothers and his father. And that is when the brothers came to him. So there's no escaping the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even if you have all the means, even if you take the means, there's no escaping the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, the next one. قول الله تبارك وتعالى عن يعقوب في أول ما صنع أبناءه. The statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in regards to the first thing in which his sons carried out. The brothers of Yusuf, they carried out. بَلْ سَوَّلَتْ لَهُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ أَمْرًا. But rather you yourselves have made up a tale. You have made up a tale. فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ. So now I'm going to have patience. Beautiful patience. The most befitting of patience. وَاللَّهُ مُسْتَعَانْ عَلَى مَا تَصِفُونَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His help is sought against that in which you are trying to do. So from this benefit of this story right here, Imam al-Sa'di, he talks about not accepting Yaqub alayhi salam when they came with his shirt, right? With his dam, like this shirt in which had the blood, which was alive on it, right? He did not accept it. He did not accept it because it didn't look like clear proof. It wasn't clear proof. The shirt wasn't in the rips, right? And there's no, if he got ate by a wolf, where's the limbs? Where's the different things in which you can prove to me? Imam al-Sa'di, he takes from this benefit right here that no matter how much somebody might come to you being emotional, crying, screaming maybe, about something that happened, put all that aside and look for proof. put all of this aside and look for the proof. What's the actual proof of this? And this we can benefit from a many different angles. Not just in the courts or the systems of bringing proof, but even dealing with that which we might say and read. Like some people might have very eloquent speech, right? They might write up something or say something, and it's so convincing. So convincing. At the end of the day, let's put that to the side, and let's look for the proof. What's the proof that supports that claim in what you're trying to make? Okay? So, Imam al-Sa'd, he derives from that, that it's upon us to look for the proof in all of the stories, all of the situations, and they come our way. Okay? There was a story here from Sheikh Abdul Rahman, Sheikh Abdul Razak, that, la ilaha illallah, I'm forgetting at the moment. But it was very beneficial to this point. Can't remember. Maybe it'll come back later, inshallah. Next one, from the benefits of the story of Yusuf alayhi salam. ومنها قوله تعالى معاذ الله أن نأخذ إلا من وجدنا متاعنا عنده إنا إذا لظالمون. From the benefits of the story of Yusuf alayhi salam is the story in which he said, Allah's aid aside, we are not going to take the person except take the one except which we found in property with him. We're dealing with the brothers. This proves to us and shows to us a qaida, a principle in dealing with ihsan. Remember, we're talking about being from the good doers, being from those who do good, those who strive, those who try to be good with the creation. But ihsan, and the qaida is, إِذَا كَانَ فِيهَا شَيْءٍ مِنَ الظُّلْمِ. If there's possible that ihsan is coupled with some type of oppression, some type of wrongdoing, then automatically, we do not do that. Even if that actually does sound good. For example, when the brothers said this to Yusuf alayhi salam, they had a good intention, they had a good thought. What was it? Our father is old, okay? He loves this son. So let's try to protect him by giving the son back. We want to take that son, and you just take one of us. The idea on its face value sounds good. They want to help their father. He's an old man who loves Benjamin. And they want to give him back. But what happened? There's some type of loan there. What is that? You're making someone else responsible for something they did not do. Or that it was not proven that they did. Right? So that's why Yusuf alayhi salam, he said, Ma'ad Allah, that Allah's aid is sought, and if it's what? Inna idhim la zalimun. If we have to do that, we'll be from the oppressors. That we can take in any principle of ihsan. Any act of good. This is the qaida, the principle. For example, having justice between the awlad, between the children, right? Having justice between the awlad. We might be out at the store. Let's say we have three children. We see something in which we want to get for one of the children without the others. We don't plan to get them anything. But I know that this child might like this. That's a good idea, right? A good thought. That's ihsan. But that ihsan, is that being equal with the other children? Had you got that? So that right there pushes that out the window. Again, another situation. Let's say a brother, he wants to practice a ta'addud. He wants to practice having more than one wife. Right? But, that's the action itself, which is ihsan. That's the action which is good. But if he was to do that, then that first wife may have some oppression upon her. It might allow him not to be able to take care of her by way of how she was previously being taken care of. The faith value is good, right? He wants to practice ta'addud. This is the sunnah he wants to establish it. But what happens if he does it? The dhulm comes, right? If he's not capable, obviously. If he's not capable, oppression comes from the other one. So that janab of ihsan, that point of ihsan, gets thrown out the window. This is the principle when dealing with any type of ihsan, any type of good doing, any type of good actions. Okay? If it comes and it's coupled with any type of dhun, then automatically we must stop and not do it. The next principle, or the next faida, وَمِنْهَا أَنَّ الْآيَاتِ from the signs of Allah Ta'ala, they are, from the signs of Allah Ta'ala, is that no matter which sign it is, no matter which sign of Allah there is, then the questioner, right? The sa'il. بها السائل المستهدي الذي الذي قصده المعرفة الحق واتباعه. The person who seeks it out, he asks it, he looks for the truth, he will eventually achieve it. He will eventually achieve it and be guided by way of it. So no matter which ayah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala he's seen or whatever, what sign it is, the questioner who is seeking out guidance sincerely, if he wants to benefit from these guidance, this ayah, this sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he will eventually come to know the truth and he will follow it. We find that in the statement of Allah, لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي يُوسَفُ وَإِخْوَتِهِ آيَاتٌ لِلسَّائِلِينَ. That indeed, in the story of Yusuf alayhi salam and his brothers, it is a sign for those who ask about it, those who seek it out. أَمَّا الْغَافِلُونَ وَالْمُعْرِضُونَ وَالْمُعَارِضُونَ. As for those who turn away from it, who don't want to listen to it, those people who turn their backs on it, فَإِنَّهُ يُصَدِّقْ عَلَيْهِمْ قَوْلُ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. Them, the statement of Allah is stated, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ حَقَّتْ عَلَيْهِمْ كَلِمَةً. Those who Allah's kalima, those wrath, the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is upon, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ حَقَّتْ عَلَيْهِمْ كَلِمَةُ رَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. They will never be able to believe. Why? Because they turned away from it. They turned away from it. They don't want to listen to it. وَلَوْ جَاءَتْهُمْ كُلُّ آيَةٍ حَتَّى يَرَوْا الْعَذَابَ الْعَلِيمَ. And they will never believe, no matter what you bring to them of proof and evidence, until they see that punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning, they turned away, they turned their backs on. They don't care to listen. These people have a punishment waiting for them, and they will never be guided. However, if you seek it out, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give it. He will bless it, as long as you're sincere. يَهْدِي بِهِ اللَّهُ مَنِ اتَّبَعَ رِضْوَانَهُ سُبُلَ السَّلَامِ. Those who takes Allah's barakah's guidance and he follows it and pursues it, right? They will have his pleasure and a way to peace, a way to straightness. And we find this in a lot of different ayats, إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Indeed, that is a sign for the believers and others. Al-Awsar, wa'ulul al-Bab, etc. So, again, from the benefits is what? Those who seek out the truth, those who seek out straightness and uprightness, they will be guided. They will be guided. As long as they're sincere and they work hard. The next benefit from the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, أن المشاوى نافعة في كل شيء حتى بتخفيف الشر. The counsel, seeking consolation, okay, seeking somebody's aid, you know, speaking about the affair, seeking other people's opinions on an issue, is beneficial in all things, even when it comes to reducing evil. Even when it comes to reducing evil. This right here is an ajeeb point from Imam Asadi. Where do we get this from? The counsel, like seeking counsel, even in affairs of evil, it could be good to a certain extent. Where do we get that? Remember the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam. Before they put Yusuf in the well, what did they do? They consulted one another, right? They consulted one another. They came together. It was upon evil. What happened? First they said, let's kill him. Then they said, let's take him away. Then until it got to the point, they took the less one, right? They took the less of the options, which was to put him in the well. To put him in the well. So, Imam Sa'di says, وَلَا شَكْ أَنَّ الْبَقَاءِ بِمِصْرِ أَحْوَنَ عَلَى يَعْقُوبُ وَأَرْجَى لِتَحْسِينَ الْمَسْلُومُ فِيهِ نَوْمٍ مِنَ الْمُسَاوَةِ. He goes into another benefit, where we see the mutashawa, the counseling, and how it's a benefit, is when they counsel, and this goes back to the brother's point in the back, we talked about leaving the brother, Binyamin, and another brother in Egypt, and they went back to the father. What did the oldest brother do? They all, before they went and did that, they came to this conclusion. They all came together and talked about it. Okay? They went to Yusuf alayhi salam. Yusuf alayhi salam, he said that we're not going to take one of you in the place of Binyamin. That would be one. Okay? So what happened? They consulted amongst each other. When they consulted amongst each other, what happened? The oldest brother, he said what? Let me stay here. Let me stay here. عَسَى اللَّهُ أَن يَتِيَنِي بِهِمْ جَمِيعًا. It's possible that maybe I'm going to follow this issue, and Allah will bring them to me. Okay? إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْعَلِيمُ الْحَكِيمُ. Indeed, Allah is the all-knowing and the all-wise. So, the decision, the council, came to what? I'm going to stay here and follow the mawdu', the subject. You guys go back and take the deed or the news to our father. That was the council that led to the best, because them saying that, trying to get the brothers, is best. Maybe he was able to get them and come back. But if he'd have went, there'd have been no trying to get Benjamin away from Yusuf alayhi salam in that situation. So in this situation, Imam Asadi, he stated, the council and going back and looking at the best of the options is good. Likewise, Al-Fasl Hadi Ashab, and I believe this is the second to the last. إنما لم يصدق يعقوب بنيه حين قالوا أكله الذئب. Then the father Yaqub, he never believed them. And when they said that the wolf had ate him, right? And this established for us a principle, and it's a well-known principle, right? Which is that what? اليقين ما يزول بشك. That knowledge, having firm knowledge of something, is not driven away, it's not removed by way of doubt. Okay? Remember, just a few points ago, they came and they didn't have strong evidence. They didn't have strong evidence with them. They didn't bring a lamb, nothing. They say that a wolf ate them, there's nothing. Okay? Except for some shirt that is completely intact that you're giving to me. This right here, that fellow said, from that point, is that it establishes, and we benefit from the Surah Yaqub, or Surah Yusuf alayhi salam and Yaqub, which is that al-yaqeen, that was firmly established, does not get contradicted, does not get put out the way, or out the window, by way of doubts. And again, to further emphasize, likewise, we don't care how eloquent that speech may be, no matter how beautiful they may try to describe it to us. If there's no proof, then what? It is upon the mat. It stays. It is not removed by way of doubts. Let's give a tangible example here, okay? A brother comes. And they say, what's your name, Akhi? Abdurrahman? Abdurrahman. Okay, somebody comes to me and say, Abdurrahman, wallahi, he's Sayyid. He's evil. And I'm like, what are you talking about? I've been here. I've seen Abdurrahman. Everybody testifies Abdurrahman being coming in the masjid, coming in, being in the front row, etc. Hey, what are you talking about? You say, why is he evil? Why is Abdurrahman evil? I say, wallahi, akhi, he did this one thing one time, and I don't know this. It's all ambiguous kalam. It's not really clear. There's no dalil. There's no nothing, right? And they want us to stay away from Abdurrahman, right? But yet, there's no dalil whatsoever on his honor, nothing, right? There's no, he said this and Allah says this. He said this and the Messenger said this. Nothing, right? In this situation, what happens, no matter how beautiful that speech may come, no matter who comes with it to us, no matter what, we are required in our religion to have the lead, especially when it comes to the a'rad of the nas, the honor of the people, right? Like the Prophet said in another hadith, had we given people everything they claim, you'd have people claiming the blood of other individuals and the rights of other individuals, right? But rather, clarity or proof is upon the one who makes the claim. This is the Prophet ﷺ saying, Abdul Hamid, saying one of us, this is the Prophet ﷺ saying this. So with that being said, going back to the story of Yusuf, al-yaqeen ma yazulu bishak, that which is firmly established is not removed by way of doubts, no matter how beautiful the story may be presented to us. Okay? Next benefit. وَتَدُلُّ الْقِصَّةُ عَلَىٰ أَنَّ الْوِلَايَاتِ الْكِبَارُ وَالصِّغَارُ لَا بُدْ لِمَتُوَلِّيهَا أَنْ يَكُونَ كُفًّا أَوْ كُفْوًا. It's important for a person who becomes a leader, becomes in charge of old and young, that it's important that he requires him to have the competence. He must be able to do that job. Okay? So when you've given a person a position, or a person has put in a position, then he needs to be able to do it. Where do we find that? In the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, right? Where the melech, what did he say to him? إِنَّكَ الْيَوْمَ لَدَيْنَا مَكِينٌ أَمِينٌ. Today you have with us a high position, right? A high trustworthy position. And because of what he knew of him, of the knowledge of what Yusuf had, his upright character, and what he was doing, and what he interpreted of the dream, right? Then Yusuf alayhi salam, what did he say? He picked the position. He says, اجعلني على خزائن الأرض. Make me to be in charge of the storehouses of the earth, the earth, or the kingdom in a situation. إني حفيظ عليم. Indeed, I am a protector and I will look over it. I have knowledge of it. Benefit from this is that a person is not going to place a position except that he is suitable for that position. Seems pretty simple, right? Just like a doctor, right? We're not going to go and get a doctor who is not suitable, right? Somebody who only follows YouTube videos, right? Somebody who only listens to lectures, right? But we're going to get somebody who studied and was there for years and did the internship and did the housing program, etc. That person's more suitable to listen to. That one's more suitable to go to and get the operational. This same situation here. A person does not get put in that position. He doesn't get listened to, except that he is able and competent for that position. Now, the last benefit, and which we'll end on, is that which comes in the story of Yusuf alayhi salam. لِمَا قَصَّهُ اللَّهُ تَبَعْتَعَىٰ عَلَيْنَا مِنْ قِصَّةِ الْعَجِيبِ بِتَفَاصِيلِهَا. That which comes in which the Allah Ta'ala has told us of this story in great detail. At the end of it, what he said, what does Allah Ta'ala tell us? مَا كَانَ حَدِيثًا يُفْتَرَىٰ وَلَكِنْ تَصْدِيقَ الَّذِي بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ وَتَفْصِيلَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ وَهُدًى وَرَحْمَةً لِقَوْمٍ يُؤْمِنُونَ. This is not some type of fabricated story. This is not some made-up story. But rather, it's truth, which is in front of you, and it's in detail. It leads to guidance, all guidance, and rahmah, and mercy to the people who believe. So Imam Sa'di says, فَنَفَى عَنْ هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ. Allah Ta'ala, he has taken away, he has negated that this Quran has any type of what? Kidding. Any type of lying. Okay? Any type of lying. وَالْخَطَى. And any type of errors. مِنْ جَمِيعِ الْوُجُودِ. From all of its different angles. It is all correct. None of it is lying. None of it is contradictory. None of it is in error. None of it. And that's by the statement of Allah Ta'ala. Likewise, وَوَصَفَ بِهِ ثَلَاثَ صِفَاتٍ. Allah described it with having three different sifats, three different descriptions, three different attributes. The first one, أَنَّهُ تَصْدِيقَ الَّذِي بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ. That it is the truth which is in front of us, right between our, and in front of us. أَيْمِنْ كِتَابِ مُنَزَّلٍ. From the books in which were revealed to us, مِنَ السَّمَاءِ. From the skies, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمِنْ كَلَامِ الرُّسُولِ. And likewise from the statements of the messengers. So, it is complete truth. Complete truth. بَلْ جَاءَ بِالْحَقِّ وَصَدَّقَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. Indeed, it was revealed in truth, and the messengers firmly established it. So that's the first one. The second one, أَنَّهُ تَفْصِيلٌ لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ. That it is a description for everything. يَعْنِي شَامِلٌ لِلْجَمِيعِ مَا يَحْتَاجُ الْخَلْقِ. It is complete in everything in which the creation is in need of, from aqaid, from beliefs, from akhlaq, from mannerisms, wal a'mal, and likewise from the different actions, al zahir wal batina, from that which is apparent, and likewise that which is in the hearts, fi dinihim, and in their religion, and likewise in their dunya. So it is what? It is tafsir for all of that. The third description, annahu huda. It is something which is guidance. وَرَحْمَةٌ لِقَوْمِ يُؤْمِنُونَ. And a mercy for those who believe. يَهْدِي بِهِ اللَّهُ مَنِ اتَّبَعُ الْوَانَهُ سُبْرَ السَّلَامِ. So before, Allah Ta'ala guides by way of it those who follow it to a straight path. To a straight path. And the difference between guidance, huda, and rahmah is that guidance is a means and it's a way that leads to goodness in the dunya and in the hereafter. That is guidance. It's a means that leads to good in the dunya and in the hereafter. Whereas mercy, then it in itself is goodness and it is a reward. It is a reward that's going to come sooner or later for the one who believes. For the one who believes. Now, and Imam Sa'di goes on, he says, وَخَصَهُ اللَّهُ تَبَارَكُ وَتَعَالَى. Allah Ta'ala has specified this for the believers. And guidance and rahmah to those who firmly believe. And he makes dua. He asks Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala to make us from the truthful who firmly believe in his iman, with iman, and firmly believe in the Quran and the guidance and the mercy of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Indeed, he is the hearer of the supplication and he is the response, the responder to the supplication, answers the supplications. And he says, قَالَ ذَلِكَ وَكَتَبَهُ الْعَبْدُ الْفَقِيرِ وَاللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى بِرَحْمَنِ بِنَا سَجِينَ السَّعْدِ. He says at the end, he says, I have stated that and I wrote the servant, the poor servant, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rahman ibn Nasr al-Sa'di. You write his name, Ghafarallahu lahu wa liwaliday. May Allah forgive him and forgive his parents. Wa jami' al-Muslimin. And all of the believers, all of the Muslims, Ameen. And he also wrote the date, Wa ta'ala al-Firaq minhu fi safar sana 1375 Hijri. And he wrote this in the year 1375. When did Imam Sa'di die? That was the first lesson we had. When did Imam Sa'di die? I mentioned this. Imam Sa'di, he died in the year 1370. No? This was wrong in 75. No? 76. So he finished this, rahimahullah, the year before he passed away. But the year before he passed away, he finished this. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from us our good actions and to make us from those who listen to the statements and follow the best of it. Likewise, I want to extend my thanks to the community and for you brothers for listening and sitting here with me and inviting me here from Pittsburgh. It has been a pleasure. I'm enjoying your hospitality and the city and the weather. We don't get this beautiful weather like this. I know brothers were saying it was hot like 2 days ago. I was cold. I didn't understand it. But alhamdulillah, it's beautiful weather, jazakallah khairan, and may Allah accept it and put it on the scales of good. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad.